Deacon and I were outside in the cold, changing the sign. I think it says, Jesus is salvation. So we're going to be talking about that for a little while. Jesus is salvation. We're going to be coming from this morning looking at Luke, or this afternoon looking at Luke, chapter number 19, verse number 10. Luke 19 and 10, this is one of your verses to remember. It says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, we come to find or understand the mission of Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus Christ come into the earth? It's twofold, two parts that are there. It says first he's come to do what? To seek. And then after that he says he's come to do what? Save. But the focus of seeking and save is the what? The lost. The focus of seeking and save is the lost. Now, many people have heard this passage of Scripture, and especially around this time of the year, everyone talks about the birth of Jesus or Jesus coming to the earth, but they pay very little attention to his mission. Very little attention to his mission. He did not come for us to have lights and things on our homes, or he did not come for us to have to be able to even give and exchange gifts. That's not why he came. According to the Scripture, his focus was on the lost. His focus was on the lost. And we are all under that category by virtue of the way that we are born. We are up under the category of being lost by virtue of the way that we are born. According to Romans chapter number 5, go over to Romans chapter number 5 and look at verse number 12. Romans 5 and verse number 12. And then we're going to go over to Ezekiel chapter number 34. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12. What does it say there? Wherefore as by one man, that one man is Adam. You know, back in Genesis, you've heard this from childhood, that Jesus placed a garden, and in that garden he placed a tree. And that tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the man whom he created, he gave him an instruction. He said, you can eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt do what? You're going to surely die. You're going to die. Now, we realize that when they ate of that fruit, Adam and his wife, when they ate of that fruit, they did not die physically. After they ate of that fruit, according to the Scriptures, the eyes of them both were open, and that they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together to try to cover up their nakedness. But the Scripture says that when they ate of that fruit, Jesus says, the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. So what was Jesus talking about? If they ate of the fruit and they did not die as we understand, because they went on and started doing another behavior right after they ate the fruit. But do we see Jesus? People will say, well, Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. Yes, he did. Because we see when they ate that fruit, something changed inside of them. Before they ate the fruit, the man and the woman were both naked, and they were not ashamed. They were able to get along with one another. But then when they ate that fruit, the Scripture says their eyes were both open, and they knew that they were naked. And they tried to cover up their nakedness with fig leaves. Also, after they ate that fruit, they heard the voice of their Creator, the voice of the one that made them. They heard the voice of the one that put his breath inside of them. They heard that voice and they ran and tried to hide themselves. Now, they weren't running from that voice before they ate that fruit. But sure enough, after they did what Jesus told them not to do, they tried to hide themselves. And Jesus called out to him, Adam, where art thou? Adam says, I hid myself. I heard your voice. I hid myself because I was naked. Jesus asked him a question. Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat of that fruit that I told you not to eat of? And then the woman that he got along with so well, before he ate that fruit, immediately he turned his back on her. And he said, the woman that you gave me, Adam let you know right then and there, he didn't even want the woman. That's what sin does to you. And that's how we understand when Jesus is talking about the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam lost something when he ate that fruit. What did he lose? He lost that connection that he had with the Creator. He lost that bond that he had with Jesus. It was immediately broken when he ate of that fruit that Jesus told him not to eat of. And here you see Jesus in the Gospels is saying, I have come to do what? Seek and to save who? The lost. Adam, when he ate that fruit, he went from a category of being at harmony with Jesus to being lost or separated from Jesus. And that's why Romans chapter number 5 and 12 writes it like this. Wherefore, as by one man, who is that one man? That one man is Adam. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. That tendency to overstep that divine boundary that separates right from wrong. That divine boundary that separates righteousness from unrighteousness. When Adam ate of that fruit, he crossed over that boundary. That's what the word transgression means. It means you're going in a place you're forbidden to go into. What did Adam and Eve do? They ate a fruit from a tree that they were forbidden to eat from. And from that, that's where you see sin entered into the world. But sin did not come by itself. Sin brought something with it called death. Huh? What is death? Death means to be separated from life. That's all it is. When someone dies, that means they are no longer in the land of the living. Right? You go to funerals all the time. You see it. You people do all kind of things to those bodies. But it's a witness to those that are living that something has happened. Something that was in them at one point in time is no longer there. What has happened? They've crossed over from life to death. Huh? Come on, Jesus told you that. In Adam, all die. By that one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Therefore, death passed upon who? That's it, all of us. All of us come here in the state or the condition of sin. Death is running through our veins. That's the truth. We're breathing in death. All around us, we see it, we hear it, we feel it. All around us. Creature gets nervous when it creeps up on them. When anything goes out of your norm, everybody gets nervous because they don't know, is this the time that that person is going to move from this place of life to the place of death? But what do we learn about that? All of it is out of our control. That's the truth. All of it is out of our control. One writer told us that when Jesus calls, we're going to answer. He's going to call and we're going to do what? We're just going to answer. We're going to get out of this body. Life is going to leave from out of this body and we're going to move over into eternity. Another place of existence. In the other place of existence, the only thing we had to go by is what the scriptures tell us about it. Huh? That's the truth. None of us have crossed over there. But we realize we're all going. Huh? Come on, saints. All of us are going there. All of us are crossing over to eternity. Someday is already marked on the calendar. Huh? There's nothing that you and I can do to avoid it. Only thing we can do is prepare ourselves. Get ourselves ready for the call, right? Yes, that's the truth. Only thing you and I can do is get ourselves ready for the call. One day we're going to be here moving, and the next moment we're not. Huh? Come on, that's the truth. One minute you're going to be breathing, And the next minute, you're not. 1 minute, you're going to be seeing with your eyes. And the next minute, you're not. Huh? People will be looking at you and they'll be seeing you. Still staring at them. But they don't even realize life has gone out of you. Your eyeballs is open and you look like you're looking at them. But there's no life inside of you. Huh? Come on, that's the truth. That means there's going to be a change in each and every one of us. And we've got to be ready for that change. And Jesus says, I'm coming to get you ready for the change. Huh? That's what he says. I'm coming to seek and to do what? Save. Save us from what? Not poverty. Huh? He's not coming to save us from poverty. He's not coming to save us from persecution. He's not coming to save us from sicknesses. He's not coming to do that. He's not coming to save us from hate. He's coming to save us from sin. He's coming to deliver us from that nature that we were born with from Adam. Come on, that's when you're talking about. You say, well, what is the new birth all about? The new birth is you getting your soul born again. First birth got you in sin. The new birth gets you out of sin. It empowers you to overcome that nature that you got from Adam, right? That's the truth. Give me Ezekiel. What I say? Chapter number, whatever, 34, and look at verse number 11. Ezekiel 34 and 11. It's in the Old Testament.
34 and 11.
Yes.
It reads, so thus says the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out.
Ain't that the truth?
Yes.
But the Lord calls you his sheep, doesn't he?
Right.
Someone else go over to John chapter number 10. The Lord calls you his sheep. And he says, I'm come to do what? I search my sheep and I seek them out. Right? That's truth. Keep going.
And it says, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock,
yes,
in the day, that he is among the sheep.
Yes. What are we? We're scattered. And that, why are we scattered? Because of sin. One writer says, all we like sheep have gone astray. What did we go astray from? We left Jesus. We turned our back on Jesus. We are no different than our daddy, Adam. Just like Adam ran from Jesus, we're running from Jesus. It's something inside of you that tries its best to avoid dealing with Jesus. Huh? Come on, it's the truth. Something inside of you does not want to face Jesus. Why? Because you know you're not ready.
Right.
You know you're not right. Huh? Yeah. That's the truth. You know it's something inside of you that is in complete disagreement
right.
with Jesus.
Right.
What is it? It's called sin.
Right.
It's called sin. You're not ready to die when you got sin inside of you. You can talk all that bold stuff if you want to. You're not ready to die if you got sin inside of you. Something inside of you, no, you ain't ready. Something inside of you, no, Jesus ain't pleased with you. Huh? Something inside of you know that if you stop breathing, it's too much of a question mark. Huh? Too much of an unknown, right? Come on, that's the truth. I'm trying to tell you why you need the new birth. The Holy Ghost puts a reassurance inside of you. The Holy Ghost lets you know that you've got a hope beyond this body. Without no Holy Ghost, you have no hope. You have nothing to look forward to. You're being deceived by a deceivable spirit. Huh? That spirit of deception is in the earth, making people think that they're going to get by the righteous judge. Huh? How does that spirit of deception work? It gets all in the liquor bottle. Huh? Making people think they can drink as much as you want to drink. Even though they tell you, you go to the doctors, they tell you that stuff is killing you. It's a poison inside of your body. It eats up your insides. Huh? It destroys your liver. But something about that spirit of deception gets in people's mind to make them think, not me. This is not going to happen to me. Huh? Same thing with smoking. Same thing with using drugs. All of these tools Satan puts out there to deceive you, making you think that you're going to avoid death. But one day, one puff, one snort, one smoke is going to be one too many. Huh? Come on. It's the truth, saints. It's no different even with sex. Sex is designed for being able to replenish the earth. And people have taken that thing and ran with it. Huh? They've ran with it and done all manner of ungodly things with it. Huh? The scripture says the men left the women, and turned to other men. And the women left the men and turned to other women and doing all kind of ungodly, abominable things in their body. Huh? They left the natural use. Huh? Jesus created you with a natural use. Huh? They've left that natural use. Why? Because it says it wasn't enough. I'm not satisfied being with this one and being with that one. So I'm going to try this one and try that one until they end up catching a disease. And then they say, why did this disease come upon me? Then they want to run to the love of God. But where were you at when the Lord was trying to teach you self-control? Where were you at when the Lord was trying to tell you to keep your body under subjection, to present your very body as a living sacrifice? How do I do that? You got to be holy, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. They want to turn it back. I'm trying to tell you how the sheep got scattered. Huh? Sheep got scattered. They started looking at one another and started hating one another because people look different. Huh? And it used to just be a black and white thing. Now you got blacks hating blacks. Huh? Just because of the way they look. Huh? Start to go through and describe things that are out of people's control. Your hair ain't straight. Your hair is nappy. You got hair on the top of your head. You ain't got no hair on the top of yours. You're fat. You're skinny. You're tall. You're short. Huh? All of these things to make you feel less than. Where did this stuff come from? It's a part of your nature. Lord said, I'm come to seek you out. I'm coming to save you from that nature that scattered you. Huh? Come on, you realize this thing is real. This thing that called sin is real. It scatters you even in your own family. It makes the families run away from one another. It makes the families develop hate one for another. And you say, why are we acting like this? It is all because of sin. Sin has scattered us, right? Sin scatters. Huh? And each and every one of you got your own experiences. However, you be honest with yourself, you can see the effects of sin working in your very life. Huh? Trying to do what? Scatter you all across the earth. But I'm trying to tell you, there's no place for you to run. There's no place for you to hide. Everywhere you go, you're going to feel the effects of sin. Huh? You're going to feel sin's presence over you like a dark shadow. You're just not going to be able to shake it. Sin's presence will wake you up in the middle of the night. Huh? Make you wake up with an edge all on your shoulder. You be looking around and you just don't even realize why you feel the way you feel. What's wrong with you? I'm just irritated. I don't know what's going on. Huh? What do you mean? I just can't sleep. Huh? But you don't even realize the word done told you all about yourself. Word says you are the wicked. And the wicked are like the troubled sea, whose waters cast up nothing but mire and dirt. By nature, we are messy people. And we love muddy environments. When stuff seems calm, that nature inside of you says, we got to stir up some mess. We got to come up with some garbage. We got to come up with something to stir up people and bring out that nature inside of them. Some folk love drama. They love when people are at one another's throats, right? Why? It's because of that nature, right? All because of that nature. That nature has scattered the sheep. Huh? Come on, you be honest. That nature has scattered the sheep. Huh? And scripture said we turned every one of us to our own way. Everybody got this old attitude. The way I'm doing it is the right way. Huh? Way I'm doing it is the right way. I don't know that thing is right. When we all look at me and my wife, our greatest disagreement is when neither one of us want to budge. Huh? When I feel my way is right and she feels her way is right. And we just get to talking. The discussion starts real civil. But then it just starts getting all boasty. You think every time you want to do this, da, 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 da. She said, no, you don't understand. I'm trying to say such and such. I got your best interest at heart. No, I got yours. See, it's that nature. I'm trying to tell you that thing is real. That thing is real. It doesn't want you to be at peace one with another. It don't have to come from anywhere. It's already in you, right? Trying to do what's scattering you. Come on, one that you say you love. That thing be in you trying to do what's scattering you. I know what I'm talking about is right. I know what I'm talking about is right. I ain't got to worry about how sin moves outside in my neighborhood. It be working right in my own home. Very one I love. Very one I care for. That devil, that nature gets inside and it makes you just go to the other side. For you know it, you be riding down the street. One face looking out that way. The other one turned that way. Come on, it's the truth. That's that nature inside. Sin is a divider. That's why I'm trying to tell you, you need Jesus to help you fight against that nature. You don't want that nature to get the best of you. Why? Because it'll end up you killing somebody that you love. Go ask somebody in the jail right now. Why'd you kill your mother? Why'd you kill your wife? Why'd you kill your children? They'll tell you, I don't know. Something inside of me just ain't kill him. Who is it? It ain't nothing but the devil. The devil is a liar. He's a thief. He's a murderer, right? Come to steal, kill, and destroy you. But Jesus said, I'm coming that you might have life. That's why folk fight against the real true church. They love to be a part of something. But the real church, they don't want to be a part of that. Because they don't even realize that you're just not fighting against people. It's something in the air that's trying to prevent you from getting close to righteousness. Come on, you look at this place. You say, how long you all been in existence? Since 1990. This church has been here in the city of Philadelphia since 1990. You say, Scott, you should surely have more members than this. Don't you think you're just a few that have come in? There have been many souls that have come in. Many souls have felt the presence of Jesus for themselves. But they didn't understand. They were immediately, when you came through those doors, it was a war. It was a war that started where? In your own mind. Come on. In your own mind. Come on, I'm trying to tell you. If you want to be you want to avoid this war, stay out the church. Stay out the church. Church ain't for you if you ain't got no mind to want to fight. You come into church, you got to have a mind to want to fight. And I'm not talking about you against your brothers and your sisters. I'm talking about the stuff that's working in your own mind. You need to fight against that no good thing that's working inside of you, right? That's the truth. That no good thing that's working inside of you. That no good thing that tries to scatter you. Try to make you go find you a little corner to operate in. That no good thing that be within you. That try to make you think that your opinion matters. That your way of looking at the thing really matters. That's so true, sister. And I think that's a testimony everybody need to pray for. Lord, help me to keep my mouth shut. And just sit humbly at your feet and just learn what you have to say to me. Come on, this is not a negotiation. The Lord is not looking to bargain with you. He's going to give you the word. And it is up to you to submit yourself to the word and say, amen, Lord Jesus. Even though I don't understand it, even though it may not agree with my flesh, amen, Lord Jesus. Why? Because he's trying to save you. He's trying to find you out, right? He don't want you to be scattered. He don't want you to be over here and over there. He wants to put you on the straight and the narrow. He wants to put blinders on your eyes, right? Give you a focus like you never had before. I love to see people focused on the coming of Jesus. But you're not living in the earth like that. You're not living around a group of people that are focused on the coming of Jesus. Everybody's focused on everything else. We make all kind of sacrifices to go find this deal and that deal, go get this free item and that free item, but we don't even realize the Lord didn't come for that. He came and died on the cross to give us a focus on the future, to get our minds fixed on leaving here, right? That's true. Got to have your mind fixed on leaving here. Each and every one of us. We got to have our mind fixed on getting ourselves ready to leave here. Huh? Don't let that old no good hireling wolf continue to scatter you. Run you to and fro. Why? Because there's no peace out there. There's no peace out there. Only one that came to give peace is Jesus. Huh? He called himself the Prince of Peace. The one that comes to bring peace. Huh? He called himself way back in the beginning Melchizedek, meaning King of Righteousness, huh? Or the one that brings peace, even in the midst of turmoil, right? That's the truth. Come on, read me a little bit more. Back in Ezekiel. My time.
And it says in verse 12, as a shepherd seeks out his flock,
yes,
that he is among his sheep that are scattered.
Yes. What would the Lord say? I'm going to seek out my sheep. That's why you need to humble yourself. And let the Lord come to you. Let the Lord work on your mind. Let the Lord bring you where you belong at. Huh? Come on, that's the truth. You got to say within yourself, I want to be a sheep that belongs to Jesus. Come on, that's the truth. It's two different shepherds in the earth. Huh? Oh, yes, it is. It's a shepherd that cares for you. And then there's a shepherd that can care less about you. Huh? In other words, there's two different guides in the earth. There's a God that will lead you into life, and then there's a God that will lead you into death. Huh? There's a God that Jesus pulled the covers off of him and said he is a liar. He is a murderer. He's a deceiver. He does not care for the sheep. All he does is care for that dollar. Huh? He's a hireling. Huh? When he sees judgment coming, he runs. He doesn't want nothing to do with it. He runs from judgment. Huh? That's why you need Jesus. You need Jesus that even when judgment is hovering over you, you got a power working inside of you that when you can just turn your face to the wall and cry out to Jesus. Say, Jesus, carry me through. Huh? Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Carry me through. You may not be able to get to somebody to pray for you, but you got to have a power inside of you that you can pray for yourself. Huh? Jesus, carry me through, right?
That's
true. That's true. You need that shepherd inside of you. You need Jesus inside of you so that you can lean and draw off of him. Don't you realize the Holy Ghost is a guiding spirit? You need the Holy Ghost to help you to deny yourself so that he can let his divine will be performed in your life. What is his will? I would that all men be saved. Come into the knowledge of what? Truth. Truth concerning who? You. I need to come be honest with myself. First of all, be honest with me. Realize the first step in honesty is I can't help myself. I can't fix these issues that are in my life. Huh? These issues of not having peace, these issues of not having joy, these issues of not feeling complete, you can't fix that by yourself. I don't care whose sofa you lay on. I don't care how many prescriptions they write you. I don't care how many degrees they have. Only one that can fix that issue is Jesus. Huh? That's why he said, I'm come to seek and to save you that feel what? Lost. Feel incomplete, right?
Yes, yes.
That's true. That's true. That old devil, he loved to scatter the sheep. But the Lord says, I'm going to pull out from those scattered. And these are going to be my sheep. Huh? Don't you realize? You coming out of that scattered, it starts off by you adhering to the call. Jesus said, I'm going to call. Huh? Come on, that's the truth. Now, do you want the Lord to judge you or do you want him to save you? Huh? I don't want to listen to him when it's time for judgment. I want to listen to him while he's trying to save me. Huh? Come on, you can ignore him. You can disregard him. But then there's one time that he's going to turn your face right towards him. There's one time he's going to unplug your ears And he's going to call you by your name. Huh? And the sad thing is, I don't care what the doctors do. I don't care what they hook up to you. I don't care what they shoot in your veins. Once the Jesus brings the breath of life out of you. Huh? Do y'all understand that? Huh? Too many witnesses. Too many witnesses. Huh? It could have been your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister. Too many witnesses to show you that this thing is real. That once Jesus takes the breath of life out of you, there's nothing you can do about it, right? Only thing you can do is just be ready. Seems like that should be my prayer. Lord Jesus, help me to be ready. When you take the breath of life out of me, help me to be ready. I don't care what I got to give up. I don't care who wants to walk with me. Jesus, just help me be ready. Why? Because you brought me in this earth by myself, and you're going to take me out by myself, right? Jesus, just help me to be ready. Come on, read me a little bit more, Ezekiel.
And it says, though I seek out my sheep,
yes. What will the Lord do? I'm trying to tell you what Jesus wants to do for you. He wants to deliver you. Come on, isn't that the truth? That's why folk don't love calling on the name of Jesus. That devil don't want you to say Jesus. Why? Because he knows that name is salvation. Huh? I'm trying to tell you, you need to be glad about the name of Jesus. Don't let your flesh, don't let your shame, don't let what other people are looking at and saying, don't let that stuff enter into your mind. When you got a mind, when you got an opportunity to open up your mouth and say Jesus, you got to realize the Lord wants you to be saved. Out of all the people in the earth, he's revealing unto you the saving name. Huh? Many people out there trying to be saved calling on Jehovah. Some folk out there trying to be saved calling on Allah. Some folk trying to be saved calling on Yeshua. Huh? Come on. That's the truth. I'm trying to tell you. It's all kind of doctrines out there. That's why I told you to go over to John chapter number 10 and verse number 1. Because it told you folk will try to come into the sheepfold another kind of way. But they all thieves. They all robbers. Only way you can be saved is you got to come through the door. And Jesus says, I am the door, right? If you want to be saved, you've got to come through Jesus, right? If you want to be saved, you got to come through Jesus. You got to learn to fall in love with the name of Jesus. You got to learn not to be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Huh? You got to learn to discipline your mind. Everywhere I would say God, I got to identify who my God is. Every time you hear yourself, God is good. I thank God. God, I want God to be. You got to say within yourself, who is God? Who is this God that I'm talking about? Who is this God that I'm trying to serve? Who is this God that I want to answer my prayer? Then you should ever say, well, I know who God is. Well, who is he? Well, Jesus. Well, why are you ashamed to say his name? Why are you trying to let your flesh deny the power that Jesus has given you? Why are you trying to let your flesh deny the authority that God put in his name? He gave himself a name which is above every name. Not some names, every name, right? That's true. Got to learn to appreciate Jesus. Wake up in the morning. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? Eating your food. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? People say, how'd you do this? It was nobody but Jesus. They may look at you weird. They may look at you strange. But it's you that got to make up your mind. Huh? You got to have your mind focused. I'm living around a bunch of people that don't know nothing about Jesus. And I don't want them to confuse me with them. I don't want them to think that I'm just like them. Huh? But I want them to think when they think about Stephen. Oh, one thing I can say about Stephen. He's always talking about Jesus. Every time something come up, I always hear him say, Jesus, Jesus, help me, Jesus. When things make us afraid and everybody's cussing and fussing, Stephen is somewhere pleading the blood of Jesus. Jesus, let your blood cover Jesus. Jesus, help us. Jesus, protect us. Jesus, save us. Jesus, deliver us. Jesus, heal us. Why? Because everything I know is Jesus. I want the Lord to know I exalt his name. I lift his name up above everything, right? That's true. I want the Lord to know I know he's my door. But I'm going to get out of any situation. I want the Lord to know, Jesus, you're my door. Huh? Come on. It ain't nobody else out there. Jesus, you are my door. Huh? My door to what? Eternal life. I don't want to die. I want to live. And I'm going to hold Jesus to his word. He said, I am come that you might have what? Life. I'm going to hold him to his word. Jesus, you are my door. If I want to live, you're the access, right? You're my access to life. Not going to be fooled by anything else that tries to come up. Huh? I'm not going to be fooled by the whisperers. Huh? Or the naysayers. Huh? Those that doubt Jesus. I'm not going to be fooled by them. Huh? Because I understand they on mission. They're working for somebody. Some shepherd has sent them my way and tried to take me off of the good shepherd. And who is it? Who is it that would cause them to whisper in my ear? All of that negative, messy, dirty, nasty stuff. Who is it? Call them and look them in the face. Say, I know where you came from. I know who you belong to. Huh? You are of your father, the devil. Huh? He's a murderer, right? That's the truth. Come on, read me a little bit more of Ezekiel.
I tell you. We'll deliver them out of all places
this is the kind of salvation you want. Come on, no, let's not run past this. I'm not going to be able to finish all this today. But at least I want to get on down to verse number 16. But I'm trying to think this thing through. When the Lord say, first, he came to do what? Deliver. Y'all know what that mean? That mean to bring you out. Huh? Come on, that's why we got to always be crying. I'm telling you, when you feel like you sinking, when you feel like, say, Elder Scott, I feel like I'm over my head with this. I'm trying to tell you, Jesus is the only one that can deliver you. And you got to have that fixed in your mind. I'm not going to cry out to nobody else. I'm not going to call on nobody else. Why? Because the only one that can pull me out of this pit, out of this mess, is Jesus. I want him to be my shepherd. I want him to be my guide. Huh? Come on. What's the benefit of Jesus being your shepherd and your God? What did he say there? Read that. Start that verse over again.
As well as the shepherd seeketh out his flock.
Yes.
That he is among the sheep.
Yes. Yep.
So will I seek out my sheep.
Uh-huh. That let me know he don't have no partners. Mm-mm. Even way back here in the Old Testament. Uh-huh. And we the only ones been fooled by that devil to try to create these multiple gods. Uh-huh. Jesus said, I did all of this by myself. Huh? Come on, I am the God that brought you out. Huh? I am the God that wiped your tears. I'm the God that heard your prayers and I answered and delivered you. I am your shepherd. Huh? Come on, if you want to stop running to and fro, you've got to listen to Jesus. He is the one that seeks you out. Huh? He says, I sought you out. Is that what that verse say? He says, so will I seek out my sheep and will do what?
Deliver them out of all places.
Not some. Not some. That means I got to keep on calling on his name till he delivers me from everything. Huh? I mean every wrong feeling, every wrong behavior. Huh? Folks don't want that kind of salvation. They want that kind of salvation to just be happy in here. But then they act like devils out there. You don't want that kind of salvation. You want that salvation to help you to be honest with yourself. Huh? That when that devil creep up in you out there, that spirit of honesty kicks in. Say, oh, no. Stephen shouldn't be talking like that. Stephen shouldn't be behaving like that. Let me run to the rock. Huh? Let me run to the rock. Huh? That's got a little bit more power than I got. I've got more authority than I got. That allow me to be exalted. Huh? To think higher. That's true. See, you mess around with them devils long enough, they'll pull you right on down. Have you thinking like they think. Huh?
You done lost your joy. You done lost your peace of mind. You done lost your love. You loving everything about what they doing. But when it comes to Jesus, you don't smile. You don't find no joy in that no more. You got a problem. I'm trying to tell you, you got a problem. That scattering spirit is trying to get you to find rest when there is no rest. He's trying to get you to find peace when there is no peace. Trying to get you to find love when there is no love out there. Huh? Greatest love, greatest peace, greatest joy, it's all in Jesus. He says, I will seek you out. And not only I'm going to seek you out, I'm going to deliver you. Deliver you from what?
Where they have been scattered in the cloudy and darkness.
Is that you? Mm-hmm. That's me. Amen. Some of us have been scattered in lying. Mm-hmm. We've been scattered in cheating. Mm-hmm. Scattered in hustling. Huh? Scattered in whoremongering. Some of us was just some crazy sheep. We was just everywhere. Huh? You go back over your life, you was just everywhere. You were sipping in everybody's pond. Huh? You was drinking in everybody's stream. And the Lord said, that stuff is making you sick. Yeah. I'm going to come and deliver you.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Deliver you from all that stuff.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
And I'm going to put you with me.
Yeah.
Come on, that's why I love Psalms chapter number 23.
Yeah.
Where Jesus talked about being that good shepherd.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
He said, the sheep you're not going to want.
Yeah.
When you come to Jesus, He satisfies all of your desires. That's why we tell you to seek the Holy Ghost with everything inside of you. So the Lord can complete all of your desires, right? You won't be out there looking for something that ain't out there. Everything you'll be looking for, you're going to say, Jesus is going to give it to me. Huh? I'm not going to be looking for my wife to satisfy me. Why? Because she can't. Huh? And I can't satisfy her. You say, I'm trying to tell you, I can never satisfy her. Huh? She can never satisfy me. I'm like a bottomless pit. And the only one that can plug that thing up is Jesus.
That's right.
That's a true thing. No, folks don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. You be fooling around with listening to these folk out in the world say, oh, I can satisfy her. You give it to me, I'll satisfy. Nah, man, you can't do nothing. You can't do no more than what I'm doing. Huh? You only fooling yourself. Huh? Somewhere they're going to come up short. Huh? I'm trying. You all have been out there. Somewhere they're going to come up short. And you need Jesus to just step right in and say, see, I told you. I've been telling you from day one. I am your good shepherd.
Right.
Only when you get with me shall you not want. Huh? I didn't write that. The Lord said the only time you're going to get to the place where you stop wanting is when you get to Jesus. As long as you try to function outside of Jesus, you still going to be. What's wrong with it? I don't know. You'd be opening up the refrigerator looking. Ain't ever did that. Just be opening up the refrigerator, just be looking. You know what's in there. Huh? And you just say, well, I just got a taste for something. What do you got a taste for? You ain't thought about that before you opened up the refrigerator? Before you went to the cabinet? I just don't know. See? See, you're trying to function outside of Jesus. He's the only one that can satisfy your wants. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. Huh? He leadeth me. Huh? Not that muddy. Not that old messy stuff. Huh? That's all I'm trying to tell you. You got to let Jesus do what? Deliver you. Is that what that writer said? Deliver you from all that stuff. Keep going.
When they have been scattered in cloudy and dark day, I will bring them out from the people.
Yeah. Well, that's sanctification right there. You should have a little note right there. That's what it means to be sanctified. The Lord is bringing you out from the people. Huh? Come on, read a little bit more.
And gather them from the country and will bring them to their own land.
Yes.
And feed them upon the mountains of Israel.
That's true.
And in all the inhabited places of
yes.
the country.
Yes.
I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold.
Oh, see, The Lord always got the best in store for you, saints.
Yes,
only one that tries to give you an illusion of all of that stuff that is out there in that world is nobody but the devil. He make people think because the lights are flashing and the people are flocking in there that that's the place to be. You'd be watching them on television and you see, oh, wow, that's got to be the place to be at. Until you get there and then you realize ain't nothing there but death. Ain't nothing there but a bunch of sin. Huh? That's the truth. Whole lot of folk have been overtaken by that spirit of homosexuality by going in places they shouldn't have been at. They were straight, good and straight before they got there. But then when they got over there, everybody was doing everything. And they tried to make you feel like you was out. Like there was nothing wrong with it. Huh? That's the truth.
Yeah.
I ain't never seen so many gays in all my life.
Yeah.
I ain't never seen it. Mm-hmm. Even the ones that don't even look like they that way. Right. I can't even look at the straight fella straight no more. Right. You can't because you just don't know what's going on in their brains. You just don't know what they're looking at. You don't know how they're feeling. Devil got these folks' minds all mixed up. They don't know what side of the fence they want to live on. Then they got those that are on the outside justifying it. Yes? Well, everybody just needs to be happy. You can't be happy in sin. You're trying to reach Mission Impossible. Right? And I told you there's no peace, my, says my God to the wicked. You can't be happy in your sin. You're miserable. Huh? You're miserable. Nothing satisfies you. Nothing makes you happy. Nothing keeps a smile on your face. You're sometimes. That's the truth. Huh? I always say you're emotionally bipolar. Because you jump from one feeling to the next. Beginning of the service, you just got a smile on your face. End of the service, your face is straight. Huh? What's wrong with you? Just be staring. I don't know. You're off. And you need the Lord to do what? Deliver you. You need the Lord, the God that can get into your brain and let your mind be straight. Huh? Come on, I'm trying to tell you what Jesus will do for you. Remember that man that was taking off his clothes, throwing himself in the fire? When he came to Jesus, he put his clothes on. He was in his right mind, right? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening, right?
Jesus.
Come on, read a little bit more. Read a little bit.
And it says, there shall they lie in a good fold and
yeah.
In a fat pasture.
Yes.
And they feed upon the mountains of Israel.
Yes.
I will feed my flock.
Hold up. See, notice Jesus is identifying himself as the source of all of this. One verse he says, I will bring them out. The next verse he says, I will feed them. The next verse he says, I will feed my flock. He says that I will cause them to lie down. I will do what? Seek that which was. Jesus letting you know he's the source of all of this, right? He doesn't share that authority with anybody else. Did you finish up? What
verse
you on now?
15, I will seek them that was lost, bring
yes.
Again that which was driven away, and
yes.
Will bind up that which was broken.
Yeah. What will the Lord do? He's going to bind up. Is that us? Yeah. All of us had brokenness in our lives. Family hurt. Relationship hurt. That devil set you up with folk that abused you. You really be honest and look over your life, that devil was trying to kill you a long time.
Amen.
And he connected you with people that really did not have your best interest at heart. They were manipulative. They were deceiving. Huh? They caused you to think that they could fulfill promises that they could not. And I mean really broke your heart. Made you feel like you were less than. Huh? That's how that devil be working. When he realized he can't do, he tried to make you feel like it's because of you. We broke because of you. But I'm working every day. Nah, but we in this situation because of you. You're sorry, no good. All that, you just be sitting there, what, me? What did I do? Then they just start going down the list. Huh? Just start nitpicking. And the strongest have become weak. Y'all understand that? The strongest have become weak. All because they let that person break them down. And who was the orchestrator of all of that? But notice what the Lord said. He's going to bind up. Huh? Y'all ready to say that? Everybody see that? You can't look for other people to do that. Only Jesus can do what? He can take all of those when people will tell you just throw it in the trash. That's what the devil is trying to make Jesus do with you. You be honest, the devil's trying to make Jesus do that with you. Had you out there in that mess and all that kind of stuff. Had you cussing Jesus? Telling Jesus he didn't have the power to do something? Who you think put all those thoughts in your mind? All that stuff ain't real. Ain't nothing real. All of them phony. Who put it in their mind? Because he wanted Jesus to throw you in the trash. Huh? He put all of that stuff in your brain. Making you think, all of it, none of this stuff is real. You'd be going to school learning. I told you, my wife, we had some little weird classes. I hated philosophy. I hated it with a passion. Because I just couldn't stand them people just questioning. They questioned everything. Say, what's real? Say, what chance real? Matter was, can you touch matter? Can you see matter? Is the chair you're sitting on real? Is the ground that you're walking on, is it real? That's philosophy. I'm being honest. And when you're in truth, and you're trying to tell, you say, well, hold up. Jesus, don't even bring up Jesus. What did you say? What did you say? God, is that real? Can you see it? Touch it? How do you know it's real? And that thing will make you question, hold up. I know what the Lord did in me. Now hold up. That'll make you look him in their face and say, I know you ain't never called on Jesus. Jesus ain't never moved on your body like he moved on mine. Huh? Are you dumb philosopher. Huh? Let the earth start quaking. And you stand there and watch the crack come your way. And then keep asking the questions. Is this crack real? Huh? Go to a volcano. Stand on the edge. Is that real? Jump on in. Jump on in. You will find out. Huh? You'll find out. So I'm trying to tell you, don't get to hell to find out hell is real. That's the wrong place to find out that hell is real. All right? All right. Did you finish reading all 16? Huh? What will the Lord do, saints? Don't we got a whole lot of that going on in here?
Yes, amen.
Hope he asks, say, oh, kind of, what you going to do for the sick folk? Are you going to close the church up? No. Maybe we need to come a little bit more. Right? But the folk are sick. Jesus is the only one. Huh? He's the only one that can deliver you. Right? You don't understand. They got this going on. Get them to the altar. Move the tables out of the way. Huh? Let them call Jesus. Right? But they got something to do. Tell whoever it is that got something to do, tell them to hold on. This is too important. Why? Because they need to be what? Delivered. Huh? And the only one that can deliver them is who? Did you finish it all, baby?
But I will destroy the fat and the strong.
Yeah.
I will feed them with justice.
That's right. That's right. I'm done. Mm-hmm. I trust y'all got something out the word. Y'all can put in your notes John 10. Prayerfully, we'll get back to that one on next Sunday. But yeah, we got to let the Lord work in our lives, saints. We got to realize who we are. The scattered sheep scripture, that's
Isaiah chapter number 53. You'll see that in Isaiah chapter number 53 about the scattered sheep. Romans chapter number 3. You'll see that also about the scattered sheep. The resume of the wicked, remember? Starting at Romans chapter number 3, 11 or 16, somewhere around in there. You'll see the resume of the wicked and you will see a glimpse of who you are without Jesus. You will see it. This is why things are the way that they are. But the only one that can bring the broken pieces back together, huh? That's right. That's right. He's the only one that can do it, saints. He's the only one that can do it. Trust you got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may